I don't want to have to yell the gospel this morning, so. Janice, am I on there now? Okay. Not rushing you. Here comes, I think. Yeah, he's coming. Is it on yet? Is it on now? Okay, good. That's good. I'm glad. Well, welcome, everyone. Torbrook and Nick Taw together this morning. It's good to see you all, every one of you from both places. We have some announcements in the bulletin. Let me look here. Was there anything anybody wanted to highlight in there specifically? If not, I'll just let you read it for yourselves. No, maybe nothing. Inside your bulletin, just to let you know, you'll see something a little different this morning. There's a little slip of paper in there, and it has a little verse on it. I want you to keep that in your hands as close to you as possible, because we're going to be using that throughout the service. Participaction. Do you remember Joanne McLeod and Hal McLeod on TV? Well, that was body break. This is godly break. Participation. So just keep that with you close at hand, and I'll let you know how we're going to use that later. Something a little different this morning. We love change, don't we? I know poor Judy this morning trying to help me staple all those in and trying to work the door at the same time. A little bit of change does us some good, that's for sure. We were going to have a song this morning on the screen, but I guess that's not available. Is it coming? Oh, good, okay. Patience. Thank you for that. Sometimes I don't have any. And I was told never to pray for patience, because then he'll give you situations in which to develop that. I think you've all heard that before. I've probably heard it in this room by a few people. Maybe not in this room, but maybe at the old church. Oh, here we are. Maybe not. Okay. Good. What a soothing spirit song, isn't it? Beautiful song. Thank you, Janice, for choosing that for us this morning. Thank you. I'm going to move along in the worship time for the call to worship, and that's taken from Psalm 36. Psalm 36, verse 5 to 9. Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the ocean depths. You care for people and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your unfailing love, O God. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. You feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your river of delights, for you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that we could come into this house and worship you. Lord, we ask that you do give us Jesus, that you give us hope and peace and joy. And we thank you for your gift of salvation, that eternal life that will come when this world comes to pass. May we have kingdom focus throughout all of our days. We pray that you would guide us and renew us and help us today to hear the message that you would like us to hear. Open our hearts and our ears and minds. Give us resources. Give us others who can help. Lord, we don't stand before you just as people, just wanting something. We want to be closer to you. We want to draw close to Christ, and we want your Spirit to dwell in us and work in us, Lord. Lord, we know there are many that do not know Jesus. And Lord, let us be a living example, the likeness of Christ throughout our lives, whether that's work, at home, through our families, through our friends, through our acquaintances, Lord, through those we meet at the grocery store. You want us to help in your mission field, Lord. You don't need us, but you want us to help. And Lord, I pray that you would guide us every single day in the way of Christ. I pray all of these things, Lord. I pray that you would guide our worship time together as part of the family of Jesus Christ. Give us Jesus. We pray all of these things in his name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing now Amazing Grace, number 343, and I think it's on the screen there, or it's in your hymnal. And if you would stand, please.
Now
Let's pray. Lord God, we are your servants, and again, we are here to worship you here and beyond these walls, Lord. Lord, there are many in our midst, Lord, who may need some spiritual healing, some physical healing. Many things that we need, Lord. But I pray that you would give them what they need in this hour, in this day, at this time. Lord, I also ask that you may crowd out anything, Lord, that is not of you. That you would allow us at this time to be with you, to be in your presence, and that your presence would seek in our midst. You are an almighty, loving, wonderful God. And sometimes we forget about you and we go our own way and make our own plans, Lord. But today let us remember that you are here in our midst, that you love us, you embrace us, that you shower blessing upon us. We are thankful for what you have given us this far. Our lives, we know, are not always without trials. But Lord, I know that you will help those who are in need of help. Lord, I pray for each one here today that this message would be a blessing, that this worship time would be a blessing, and that they would know that you are here with them. That you can minister to their hearts in any way possible. I feel your spirit moving in this place, Lord. You've quieted our hearts and our minds. Let us turn to you at this time. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The responsive reading is on the back of your bulletin. It's called Wisdom. Respect and obey the Lord. This is the beginning of knowledge. Only a fool rejects wisdom and good advice.
My friends, I beg you to listen as I teach.
I will give instruction and explain the mystery of what happened long ago.
These are things to learn from our ancestors, and we will tell them to the next generation.
We won't keep secret the glorious deeds and the mighty miracles of the Lord.
God gave his law to Jacob's descendants, the people of Israel, and he told our ancestors to teach their children so that each new generation would know his law and tell it to the next.
Then they would trust God and obey his teachings without forgetting anything God had done. They would be different from their ancestors who were stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful to God.
Honor the Lord. You are his special people. No one who honors the Lord will ever be in need.
Amen. The choir is going to do a special for us. Choir's gonna help.
Thank you.
As you can see, I like to change things up a little bit. Pastoral prayer is next. So before I begin that, I'd like to know if there's any prayer requests that anybody has or updates on anything. Sue and Mike. Yes, absolutely. And who was that? Mona. Anybody else? Okay. Anything else? Pardon me? Yep, I've got that. Thank you, Roxy. Let's go before God in prayer. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us today, that we, your servants, might listen and hear what you are saying. We pray that the scriptures might be illuminated and fill us with hope and deeper convictions of how we might proceed in our walk with you. Shed some light on our lives and tell us what needs to change, and who we might reach with the gospel and how. Let us step from that which is so comfortable, and let us walk in rougher waters, so that our friends can know you. Call those who may help. Let our friends be saved, that they would see your grace and your mercy and your tenderness through us. As Christians, our hearts should be tender and loving. You call us to step from the darkness and into the light, to seek you and to not let our fears get the better of us. You call us to become less and less so that you would become more and more. That we would look beyond ourselves and focus outwardly on others. I know that you will help us to do that. Lord, we pray for those at this time in need of physical healing, emotional healing, and spiritual as well. Lord, we pray for Sue and Mike and their ongoing conditions, Lord, of cancer. Lord, we pray that you would heal them, that you would help their families and them to deal with all of the things that comes along with treatments and being at home and dealing with life's daily struggles. Lord, we pray for Mona as she deals with the loss of her son. Lord, many know what that feels like, and Lord, we pray that you would bring a community of people to surround her in that. Lord, we pray for Albert Vino. We pray for his healing as well. We pray that you would help doctors and nurses as he goes along with his treatments. And any decisions that need to be faced, Lord, we pray that your hand would be upon it. Lord, we pray for Uncle Bill and Aunt Marie. We pray for Bill to regain more strength, to be able to walk more and more, and to be able to come home. And we pray for Marie to help to be able to cope with the challenges that comes along with this kind of ailment, Lord. Lord, we also pray for our community. We look around and we see people coming to and fro from their homes. And Lord, when we look out amongst our church, we see a few people. We see empty seats. Lord, and we would pray that you would help them to come to know God, not just to come to church, but come to know Jesus Christ. We pray for our community to be safe, Lord. There's so much going on in the world today, and we pray that you would keep the evilness at bay. Lord, I'm thinking also of out west, Lord. Still, all the tragedy from fire, Lord. We can't comprehend it here. We're not amongst it, but Lord, we pray that you would help those just to cope with the tragedy and disaster and rebuilding. I can't imagine what that must be like for them and families around Canada who have family out there who've been relocated. They're simply like refugees, Lord. We just pray that you would help them and strengthen them and give them a strong sense of community, Lord. We know there's many who have helped already across the globe, and we thank you for that. That is such a blessing for people to come on board and help those in need. And we pray that that continues. There are so many things, Lord, that we could pray for, but I pray that all of those silent prayers amongst the hearts of your people here today are heard, and that you would speak to them in the way that they need ministering to for those prayers, Lord. And Lord, at this time, I would like that we would all lift up to you the Lord's Prayer in unison. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And at this time, I'll ask the ushers to come forward for the offering, please. Thank you. we give these offerings and tithes to you as you have freely given. We acknowledge that everything we have has come from your hand, and so in action we give back, so that your word may be preached and lives will be shared, things will be shared with so many in the world, and that they would come to know you and the saving grace of Christ. May all that we do in worship be for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a quietness in here today, isn't there? Can you feel it?
Yes.
It's nice. Feels good. Not an uncomfortable quietness, a nice quietness. The scripture reading today is, there's two actually, Proverbs 2, verse 1 to 11, and Proverbs 9. And I'll begin with Proverbs 2. My child, listen to what I say, and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver and seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest, and he is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you, and understanding will keep you safe. Proverbs 9, verse 1 to 6. Wisdom has built her house. She has carved its seven columns. She has prepared a great banquet, mixed the wines, and set the table. She has sent her servants to invite everyone to come. She calls out from the heights overlooking the city, "Come in with me." She urges the simple. To those who lack good judgment, she says, "Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways behind and begin to live. Learn to use good judgment. Anyone who rebukes a mocker will get an insult in return. Anyone who corrects the wicked will get hurt. So don't bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you. But correct the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous, and they will learn even more." May God bless the reading of his word today. I want to begin by talking about the word ingenuity. Ingenuity is an imaginative mind, a creative mind, combined with a powerful force, a real passion that will get a project done or begun. Results that can leave lasting impacts or impression on one person or the whole world. Now, according to vocabulary.com, for all you technological people that love to search the internet, like me, ingenuity is the ability to think creatively about a situation or to solve problems in a clever way. The Latin word for mind or intellect is the root of ingenuity. This resource says that it takes a bright and fast-thinking intellect to use ingenuity in any situation. That ingenuity is all about imagination, and an imaginative mind knows that every obstacle can be overcome with a little ingenuity. and they use this example. If you want to build a boat from thousands of pounds of toothpicks and balls of yarn, you need a lot of ingenuity. I would agree. I'm sure it can be done. But context is everything when we speak of ingenuity. I recently have read in the Valley Harvester, which I know Bill had mentioned in one of his sermons last week, a little article, an article by Jim King. And the title was called Sociological Theory of Religion. Has anybody here read that in the Valley Harvester? Yeah. And he mentions the word ingenuity in there. And here's what he wrote. In previous articles, I had spoken of the proofs for the existence of God, and have come to the conclusion that the proofs, regardless of their ingenuity, do not prove to the satisfaction of a non-believer that God exists. Therein lies his thesis statement, that our imaginative, our creative proof, our clever religion, is not enough to convince someone that God exists. Chew on that for just a little while. He's saying that with ingenuity, we cleverly and imaginatively manifest this idea of a God, a superhero, a superpower, which falls in line with the sociological theory of religion, which is to streamline society to behave in a certain way when they believe in an abstract higher power. Something else to chew on a little bit. He concludes that the real impact on society is the power of influential people and the collective knowledge and wisdom of our society. Now, I don't know about any of you, but anyone can print whatever they want in any newsprint across the globe about our ingenuity in providing proof of God. And they can state every sociological theory there is. But what I do disagree with is that the real impact comes from the collective knowledge and wisdom of society. Worldly knowledge only? The world's not looking so good right now, is it? On worldly knowledge only. There are people in the world who are upright people who do not believe in God. I've met many people who don't believe in God that are good citizens, good people, loving, caring, kind. There are many volunteers and humanitarian efforts and services across the world that are not affiliated with God or a church. We have a lot of services that are not affiliated with God or any church. But we need to keep in mind that God is the core, the center, at the heart of people, no matter what they believe. He instills grace and tenderness and compassion and the zeal for helping, that uprightness in people. These are not reserved for believers only. We are all made in God's image. Now that image got tarnished and broken and misidentified along the way, but we are still all made in his image. He still watches as he knits in a mother's womb in utter seclusion, and he still delights in us and rejoices over all with singing. And unlike Adam and Eve, we do not come into this world knowing God. And I imagined in my mind for a moment this morning the forming of the dust and God breathing into the nostrils and Adam opening his eyes and seeing God. We didn't come into the world like that. We come in as babies. We don't come into the world with all the wisdom of God. We obtain it over time, after we accept God by faith without seeing him, by his grace and with the help of the Holy Spirit. There are many non-believers and atheists, humanists, sharing their knowledge of a non-existent God, and they have followers. There are many books about being good without God. Universities teaching philosophical ideologies. So I'm going to ask you a few questions. Where do you stand? Where does your wisdom come from? People? Society overall? As a follower of Christ, God should be our main source of wisdom. Paul, in his letter to the church in Corinth, says this: the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. The scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligence. So where does this leave all the philosophers and the scholars and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. And God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Remember that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy when God called you. That's from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18 to 20, and 24 to 26. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we don't need the wisdom of people, we do. But it has to intersect with the wisdom of God, because his wisdom is supreme and ours is not. Bottom line. Mr. King said that the Bible was thin on issues like not cheating on an exam, or when we should use our cell phone, and wrongfully parking in handicapped places. Now, these are issues that get under our skin sometimes. It's annoying when we want to talk to somebody and they're on their phone, or they're, you know, driving while they're on their phone. Not a good thing. Or when you know that somebody might need that handicapped spot and somebody's in it who doesn't have a sticker. You know they just didn't leave it at home. It's true that not all these examples are in the Bible, but the principles surrounding them are. Deuteronomy 10 and 12 sums it up. What does the Lord require of you? He requires not only that you fear the Lord your God, and you live in a way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all your... What was that? Louder. There, like you mean it, with all your heart and with all your soul. The most common of the New Testament sums up all the laws of the prophets. Love the Lord your God with all your might, and love your neighbor as good. From our readings in Proverbs 2, verse 9, then you will understand what is right and just and fair, and you will find the right way to go. Fear, reverence of the Lord, is the beginning of all wisdom. Psalm 111, verse 10. If you are living in a way that pleases him, if you love and serve him with your whole heart and soul, you might think twice about cheating on that exam. You might put the cell phone away and share your time with the people that are special to you. and pass by that empty handicapped spot. You will understand the right way to go. Keeping in mind that we do sin and we might cheat or park in the wrong place, a conviction in the soul and the wisdom may come later to repent and change that behavior. And then comes again God's immeasurable grace. When we follow Him, our wrongdoing with repentance can draw us as close to Him as our right doing. The Bible is not lacking on wisdom. And it's that godly wisdom that aids us in finding those principles so that we can apply them to our lives. Again, I'm not saying that intellect or being an influence in the world is wrong. A mind is a powerful thing to waste. But it can be a powerful cause of destruction as well. And we have seen that all too often. Even by people that we thought were upright or even Christian. If we are not continually seeking the wisdom of God and we remain Sunday Christians only, who come with a mindset of only being a better person and encouraging others to be better people, then we are living out what Jim King draws attention to, the sociological theory of religion. I don't want my God to be painted in a light like that through me. I want people to see evidence of Him in me. I want to point them to Him. He is not part of a theory or an abstract idea to entice society to be well-mannered or to follow the proper social etiquette of the day. He is real, and He is enthralled with the details of our lives, and He wants us to seek Him and His wisdom. And that, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is a continual search. I want to know if anyone's ever heard of the book, The Spiritual Disciplines Handbook by Adele Calhoun. Has anybody ever heard of it? Yeah, okay. This is a practical book which takes the reader to another level of knowing our Trinitarian God and deepening our spiritual walk in several different ways that can be tailored for every individual. It can help us along in that continual search of wisdom and grow our relationship with God. The Bible itself has sections classed as wisdom literature. It includes the Song of Songs, Job, Ecclesiastes, and of course Proverbs. And maybe you will choose to search through these wisdom writings on your own or collaboratively in groups, gathering wisdom for each day. There's also the Daily Bread. I read this week, there were many things that applied to this sermon here that kind of come together and help you to understand it a little more. I think there was a couple of them that I read this week that were a bit of wisdom to take into the soul, to give me a little encouragement to move forward with this sermon. And this is the context of our ingenuity. Practical, imaginative, creative thinking, keeping our eye on the eternal prize, knowing that it is for God's glory, knowing that He will give us the wisdom that we can pass down to others. We are not in this for ourselves. No selfishness when it comes to knowing God. We are not in this to change people. Wise people know that it is God that changes people. And we can influence by our authentic example of a life lived like Christ does, and that's true. Wise people realize that this example is so that others may come to receive Christ as their personal Savior and hopefully focus their eyes on the eternal prize. In James 3, verse 13 to 17, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure and peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." So wisdom is shown by one's actions. People can come to know Christ through your influence and action, through your godly wisdom. This is not about only being a good person and influencing others to be that way too. We have to be in tune, connected with God in a profound way, and search Him out more and more. I think it was last week, Pastor Bill had mentioned that he had seen different levels of growth in this congregation. And that happens by being connected with God. Continually searching. We have to work at it in order to see those results of consideration when we want to be resentful, when we want peace instead of chaos. And we have to be submissive willingly, and rightfully so, instead of always wanting our own way. I don't know about you, but sometimes I want my own way. I have a hard time seeing God when I want my own way. I'm not pounding the pulpit. I'm just emphasizing. We can be full of mercy and be tender-hearted instead of complaining about the faults of others. Being impartial instead of playing favoritism, which is really rooted in getting what we want. And it's selfish. Whatever sinful problem or ailment we face, God can cure it with the antidote, His wisdom. That's not mine. That comes from there. And where does that come from? It comes from His Word, the ministry of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that works within us. Now I want you to take out that little piece of paper added to your bulletin. And I want us to read it out loud. I'll give you a moment to get it. Everybody ready? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you believe that? Now, if we go back to Proverbs 2, we read these words: listen, tune, concentrate, cry out, ask, search for, seek, and then you will understand. Action words. And then we read, God grants wisdom, common sense. He is a shield, a protector, a guarder. And then you will understand what is right and just and fair, and you will find the right way to go. Wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. There's a dialect going on here. A receiving and a giving. What goes up is coming down. If you ask, He is answering in His own time and His own divine way. God has your back. but you have to search. And we never quit searching for understanding. But he always has our back. That to me is not cliche. God has my back. When you don't feel like reading the Bible or fellowshipping or working or exercising or eating healthy, the Holy Spirit is groaning prayers for you. He will give you the knowledge and whatever else you need or the resources to find it. And you have to really believe that. If you don't, you are really living out that sociological theory of religion. A surface belief in a higher power that makes a better person. If we are leaving here today the same way we came in and remain unchanged, as the week goes on, and we have no sense of a spiritual challenge, that can pose a problem. I want you to take out your white paper again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is always ready to take us to the next level, to let us have a life of abundance and to live it to the full. He can when we cannot. He can help us to live it joyfully among the strife, and I know that's hard because we never know what people secretly face. But we need to seek God, get his help and his wisdom on the issue, and find the principles in his word to understand. And again, that is a continual search. Christianity is not a death sentence, it is a good life sentence. We are meant to be happy and joyful. No, we don't always have the perfect life. I get that. But God can help us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. By the end of the service, you won't have to take out that little piece of paper anymore. You probably don't anyway. You probably know it better than I do. Our journey, good or bad, should not be without God and his wisdom. I don't know where I would be if it were not for God reaching out to me and helping me to understand that Jesus died for me. I still well up a little bit. Can you hear it in my voice? If he wasn't challenging me and correcting me and guiding my spiritual transformation. Let's face it, when I came to this church, I was sort of a behind-the-scenes, blubbering mess in the seats. You know, that old CFC floor sopped up more of my tears, I'm sure. But now today, I stand before you sharing God's message. And God has brought me a long way in this short journey. It's not only my life that I have seen transformation. I worked with the mentally challenged and behaviorally challenged adults, and I've seen some of them changed by the gospel message of Jesus Christ and actually seeking forgiveness with sincerity. An authentic example walked beside them and shared the wisdom of God. The simple get it. They do. But there's one more extreme case of transformation that I want to talk about today. And I want you to brace yourself, prepare yourself, because the mentioning of this person is probably going to make you feel uncomfortable. I'm going to tell you that right out of the gate. Because my initial reaction was, no way. And that person is Jeffrey Dahmer. Another pastor had sent me a message asking me if I knew that Jeffrey Dahmer had given his life to Christ months before dying in prison. In this particular time, she was reading a book called Charis, God's Scandalous Grace for Us by Preston Sprinkle. And Charis means grace in Greek. She proceeded to tell me that the author opened up about the heinous crimes that Jeffrey had committed. And on camera, Jeffrey mentioned that he wished he could just find some peace. A woman watching felt that she knew where he could find that peace, and sent Jeffrey some books for Bible study and a Bible. And 6 months later, he wrote her back and asked her to send more. This woman contacted a pastor near the prison and asked him to visit Jeffrey. And the pastor went and explained the gospel and Christ and asked Jeffrey if he wanted to accept Jesus, and he did. Now this pastor, who also has a book out called Dark Journey and Deep Grace, later recounted how Jeffrey was immediately different, and for the remainder of the months he was in prison before he was killed. The author tells how outraged and doubtful people were, mostly Christians, that someone like him could be converted and forgiven. In researching this, it was noted that someone said, "If Jeffrey Dahmer is going, I don't want to go." The pastor that went to see him stated that Christians would ask all the time if he felt that Jeffrey was sincere in his faith. And his answer was always yes, with an exclamation mark. We as Christians can be like these examples of doubters, especially if we know or we ourselves, have been on the receiving end of anything heinous. Let's face it, the lives of the world today sometimes look like something out of Law and Order episodes. It's scary what people are facing out there. And some probably in our own communities that we don't know, it's that secret thing that people are facing. And it's hard to see a creation of God do things so horrible and then be accepted by him and become part of our family, the body of Christ. And I want you to look at your paper again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Proverbs 9, verse 1 to 5. Speaks of that wise plan of God that seems foolish to those perishing. That great banquet, sending servants to tell everyone to come. Verse 6 and 9 says, leave your simple ways behind. In other words, your earthly wisdom. Teach the wise and they will become wiser. Teach the righteous and they will learn even more. There is always something that God wants us to learn. Another level that he wants to take us to. And we need to remind ourselves of God's wisdom that tells us what happens in the heavens when a sinner repents. What happens? Rejoicing. It doesn't matter who it is or what they have done, God accepts them. And maybe Jeffrey's situation is bunk. Maybe he really didn't come to know Jesus. But godly wisdom tells me otherwise, that he can because God can. That it is possible with God, and there is not anyone that he cannot reach. And he might use one of us to do that. If you are God's servant being sent out to invite others to the banquet, who is the everyone you are to tell? His word tells us that we should remember those in prison as if we ourselves were there. As Christians, wisdom in this will come from God. when we in our human state cannot fathom how we could ever approach or share or accept a person who has committed heinous crimes. Wisdom will come when we are complaining about another's faults, and when we need to show mercy, and when we need peace instead of chaos. I want you to take out your paper one last time. Nice and loud, like you mean it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you believe that? Thank you, Sharon. Godly wisdom, godly insight, godly knowledge and understanding are far greater than any human wisdom, insight, or advice, hands down. There are so many wisdom passages in the entire Bible, and a standard Google search will let you list them all. But it's their application that is so important. I know I can't sum up all the wisdom of God in one sermon, and honestly, I couldn't do it in 100, I'm sure. Because there would always be a new experience or a new thought and a new way in which the Holy Spirit touches a heart with a familiar passage in a new way. Have you ever had that happen? Something you've read over and over and over again, and then boom, you get a new insight on it, and it's so refreshing and just fills you. We were not meant to stay the same, and our mind should always be renewing. When you hear his voice today, open your hearts and let the Spirit take wisdom learning to the next level in you. Focus on a new mindset or practice a discipline that challenges you to seek God's wisdom more and more. Use that God-given ingenuity. Be creative and imaginative and collaborate with one another. Share your experiences and share God with the world. May you leave lasting impacts and impressions on one or many. Use God's wisdom to help others find peace. And challenge what you read, whether it's the newspaper articles or the theories of the Word alongside God's Word. 1 John 2, verse 26 and 28 tells us that we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we will know what is truth and lies, so that we won't be led astray. Seek his wisdom. It is a continual search, and if you are asking, he is answering. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you for those moments of stillness, and I thank you that you give us your word and you help us to feed on it and you nourish us with it, Lord. Not one of us in this room is without fault, and Lord, there's always something new to learn from your word, and help us to continue on in this process together and also individually, and help us to be good stewards of the word and to share the word more and more, and not to be so fearful and worried about offending. Or let us do that through the Holy Spirit and through your will. I pray about all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Dropped half my paperwork on the floor, but that's okay. We're going to sing now, Crown Him with Many Crowns, number 45.
Thank you.
him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore.